Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for making it possible. We thank you, Lord, for drawing us close to you, Lord. We know that the official positions are about to be announced very soon, and we want to be on the good side. All of us do. We ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, draw us, and we will run after thee. Amen. So I'm going to call this, We Need to Check Ourselves. Yes. We're very close to the appearance of the man-child reformers to choose the bride. And it is past time to stop playing and draw close to the Lord. It is time to check ourselves to be sure that we're in the running. Major disasters are also coming at the same time, so pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things, as the scripture says. Lamentations 3 and 40 says, Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 34, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, if he discern not the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. But if we discerned ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait one for another. And of course, we are partaking of the body and blood of Christ. Every day, it's not the ceremony that we're talking about. That symbolizes what we are doing every day, partaking of his body and his blood. He is the Word made flesh, right? And his blood is the life and nature of Jesus Christ. So, he says, when you come together to eat, wait one for another. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home. Good idea. That your coming together be not unto judgment, and the rest will I set in order whensoever I come. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 is, Try your own selves, whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Or know you not, as to your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you be reprobate? Galatians 6 and 4, But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor. And Psalm 139:23 and 24 says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Good prayer. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Psalm 26:1 and 2. Which is a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my heart and my mind. Ephesians 5:15 on. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. Revelation 3:11 says, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. So true. Okay, here's a revelation, purposely desire the Lord. We called it Anonymous 4:7:23. Nothing comes from anything else other than me. Not your own works or other people or this earth. Just me. Yes, and John 3:27 says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. Many people want to blame others for the things that have come upon them, but it won't work before God. The curse is causeless, alighteth not, the Bible says. So endure the suffering now, he goes on to say. Have selflessness now above all. If it hurts or is undesirable to the flesh, it is most likely to be for my glory. As in death to self and the crucified life, right? Amen. There are testings of your patience and diligence to make way for the end result of my will. And these testings will enable you to always resist the enemy. Very true. Have a high regard and hope of who I am. The highest of all, the creator of all, cares for you. Amen. Ask yourself, can there be anything I cannot do? Would I leave anything undone? Well, my thought was Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Lay it all before the Lord. Ask for his help in everything. Confess and humble yourself for everything. Keep loving so much that the intensity drives darkness into nothingness. True. You are in a very tough but major change. Be ready for the blessings in abundance. I know these are coming for those who are walking righteously before the Lord. And he said, I felt to be ready to utilize, not just receive. Right? In other words, be ready to share, meet the needs, everything. Let go of your own feelings and satisfactions. Look at my son. Did he not lay his life down for you and yet said nothing? And his comment is, we are to do just the same as the Lord Jesus. Acts 8:32-35. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. His generation, who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Paul and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, preached the gospel to him, Jesus. And 1 John 3:16, hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yes, and that's the way it is with the bride, my friends. That's what they're doing. They're giving their life for their brethren. Repent quickly, the Lord said. The quicker you do so, you can then be close to each other as I am to you. And then he said, I saw a triangle. Yes, we are one side of that. We must yearn for each other in unity, he says. You are in a time of sanctification, tried and true. I saw how metal, being beaten into shape by a blacksmith and tried and proven and made stronger in a fiery furnace. Yes, true, and don't begrudge God those fiery furnaces, right? There's nothing that can compare to my love. I want you and desire your company forever. Cherish this and do not get distracted from my love. I am pure and true. Everything else is a test of our love together. When you see the time where children and those young in faith are speaking as Jesus did in the temple, then you are unable to ask for more time, for the end of time is here. Be ready. And he said, I felt that these are the times where we are seeing those being called out from the apostate churches, his sheep who follow his voice for our Father's glory. Amen. I agree. Luke 2:46-49. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting and in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Let it be so with us, right? And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Child, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Lo, thy father and I seek thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Knew ye not that I must be about my father's business? Yes. Trust me, I have a way. I felt we are to let go of all our desires and to treat each day as the last, not for pleasure, but for closeness to him. Yes, this is important at this particular time, for sure. Hold to me. Never let go. You are doing well and keeping true on the righteous path. Never let this be a reason to stop or slow down. Never allow lies or self to be a hindrance to our life together now. Okay, and here's a word from Debbie Finsky on 12/30/23. There must be an exchange. My children, let me speak this word of love to you from my heart. Being where you are does not make you part of my holy bride. Only ignoring this world around you and consuming yourself with the business of my kingdom willingly and faithfully from a heart of total repentance and a life of holy living as you abide in me, do I stamp upon you holiness to the Lord. In this hour of much darkness and much falling away of my people, I need your oneness with me, and I so desire my oneness with you. I need you to be in the thick of warfare against this darkness. Realize the exchange that has taken place. I have been exchanged for meaningless activities. Do you really understand the times that we are in? Yes, we are in this together. You need to make the exchange back from the meaninglessness to my high calling. Exchange from darkness to light. Yes, I say that this is an exchange from darkness to light. Let me open your eyes so that you will see the darkness where you spend so much of your time. This world and the things that are only for occupying your mind and your time are things of darkness. Amen. Well, we know the distractions of the pleasures of the flesh are darkness, and these keep many from bearing fruit. For a very short time now, my hand of invitation is still mercifully stretched out to you. What great mercy I have given to you, my people. I have given you so much of everything, so much of myself, and now the choosing of my bride is at hand. This is the time to make the exchange. You know what I'm asking each of you. Search your hearts. Examine your hearts. Separation is not what I am merely asking of you. I am requiring it of you. Be diligent to enter the fight for those to whom I have called and am calling, still out of my great mercy. Enter in the beauty of holiness. Remember, desire is not enough. Your will must win over mere desire. Just as my will was to give my life for yours, so now, so close, in this last hour, will you, by your will and by my extended grace and mercy, give up your life for me and for others. There are many who need you to give up your life for them, in warfare for them, against the enemy. Have you not known that playtime has been over? The time has always been for death to self, but life in me, for me and with me in our kingdom, reign together on this earth for eternity. Eternity is right now. Right now, spend it with me on your knees. Keep your hearts bowed. I am waiting to clothe you with my glory. Are you making yourselves worthy of my high calling? You are not alone, though you may feel it, being separated from beloved friends and family, for I have given you one another, a family to work together, to come into this calling together, as one in me. I love you, my children. Well, amen. And here is another one given through Debbie on 9:30. We called it, So Many Will Not Be Kept Safe. I received this last Thursday night, 9:28:23. It was our worship and praise night on the Zoom outreach conference call. I could not share it that night because I knew I had to pray about how to present this. Our worship time was awesome. It was such a wonderful, uplifting time. I was being really blessed worshiping and praising God and being lifted up in my spirit. So I was not prepared for such a turn that I received. One of the last few songs we were singing had lyrics about how he will keep us in the fire and he will keep us in the storm. And after that song, I began feeling a spirit of heaviness come over me. It just wasn't normal. I asked Father, what is this all about? God, why am I feeling this way? And then suddenly I was seeing a vision of Jesus in a white robe. His hair was brown, shoulder length. His head was somewhat bowed, allowing his hair to fall forward over his shoulders and hang down at each side of his face. Then I was suddenly given a closer view of his face, like the way a camera focuses in on a subject. I could see Jesus was not happy. I could tell he was very sad and grieving, and I could not understand that because I thought our worship time was so great. Then our worship went into another song with real high praise, and people were so happy, lifting up Jesus. The main lyrics, I will say, were, I just can't stop praising his name. And the song kind of went on, and I opened my eyes and watched as I was singing with them. It was really a great song, but I was feeling this heaviness at the same time. Then, closing my eyes again, I was again seeing the same vision of Jesus, really grieving with such sadness on his face. I couldn't understand this. I was still confused, asking myself, why this and why now? Then Jesus faded out, and I was looking at what I had just been watching. People on stage raising their arms, singing loudly, kicking their legs and dancing and twirling while praising God. I saw one group of praisers that were really dressed up, and then another group of praisers were in just jeans and t-shirt, just like what we were watching in those worship videos. But what I heard the Lord say after that, I don't think he was necessarily applying to these particular groups, individuals, and choirs of people that were just seeing in the worship videos. But he was referring to many people out there that are lifted up in his way, and not just groups or individuals who are popular out there, but to so many who are saying that they are doing what they are doing for God's kingdom. But they are not. As I was watching that vision, and after seeing Jesus looking so sad and grieved and filling his heart, this is what the Lord said. So many will not be kept safe from the burning fire, from the storm, and from the battle. They will not be kept safe, though they praise me because they have not known me. They are deceived. Oh, they look like they know me when they are singing great songs of praise to me, but though they know that what they sing about me is true, they do not know me. They boast in that I love them, but they cannot boast in their love for me, for they do not know me. Therefore, I do not know them. Well, you know, there is a lot of Hollywood crept into the church, and people are putting on a show. It's not coming from the heart. They're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. Okay, let's return to this prophecy. These people grieve my heart so, as I watch them make fools of themselves before the devil and his demons. If they would only really want to know what is in my word, but they have no desire to know my word, because they have no real desire to know me. What they really desire is to be looked upon and worshipped by others. Foolish they are. And though it grieves me, I know that there are many of them who realize that they are empty of me and will repent and come to me and follow me. But so much more than those who will repent are those who will not repent and are going to stay on their stage singing their way into hell. After I finished writing this down, I just happened to open my Bible. I wasn't at this point going for a random word for confirmation, but I was thinking I would do that. So I was really amazed when I read the verses that my eyes looked down at after I opened my Bible. Thank you, Lord. I looked at verse 7 of Matthew 7. I'm reading Matthew 7, 6 and 7. And he said unto them, Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. So the numbers 767 strongly stood out to me. When numbers stand out to me, I like to look them up in the Strong's Concordance. So what Strong's says of 767 is of no mark, unmarked, or unstamped, insignificant, ignoble. O Father, you've shown that you do grieve for those who are in such a deceived state. It is scary to be thinking that people who worship you before men are in that place. Well, there's that Hollywood entertainment thing, They're looking for the respect of men. The same as all people who say that they are Christians but are deceived by doctrines of demons, thinking that popularity while wearing your name tag is acceptable. They know of you only in their head and not in their heart. But so many do not realize that they are unmarked or unstamped and insignificant to you and ignoble in what they think they are doing unto you or for your kingdom. And they don't realize that you do not know them. I pray that we and all of your people will always examine our hearts before you, searching our hearts and repenting of not worshiping you in spirit and in truth in all that we do. Father, as we are staying in your word, reveal to us where we are being in the flesh and of any spirit of pride and self-grandeur, which is so unpleasing to you, so that we can repent. Thank you for your grace to us to stay in the light of your word, wanting your light to shine on any darkness in our lives so that we can repent and remain true, pure, and clean before you, before one another, and before those out in the world, for your honor and glory alone. Please open the eyes of your people quickly who don't see that they are in this dangerous place, trapped in the lie of the devil that tells them that they are right with you while they are really just lifting up themselves, desiring only to please men. Please make them aware of the strong truth of your words in Matthew 7 and 23. I never knew you. And in Matthew 25 and 41, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Lord, put in them a holy fear of you and cause them to repent, to change their ways by walking according to your word. Deliver them from the darkness so that they will be a light in the darkness, bringing honor to only your name, never to their own. And always, in all they do, worship you from their heart, in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father. Amen. And this is also anonymous, 4923, sing for the Lord. Are you worshiping me to make yourself feel good? Or are you doing it for or to revere me? The songs you listen to and the words you sing, are they holy? Are they my word? Are they truth? Or is it repetitive, flesh-pleasing and self-pleasing words? Are the words or lyrics contrary to my word? Are the feelings that you're experiencing the Holy Spirit or the flesh being aroused? Is this for me or for you? Don't you know that you can't even speak or walk without me and my grace? Use your mouth for me and my glory. Let me bridle your tongue and let me only speak through you. Stop speaking about self and singing for self. Think about how those who worship me now in the Holy of Holies for eternity. You have heard some say, holy, 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 and they don't speak or glorify self. Think and speak with me about the beats that you listen to. Music goes straight to your soul, and there is no filter. Spirits transfer whether you see it or not. Are the people you are listening to singing from my spirit? Are the instruments to glorify me and from me? Or is it another spirit to make and manipulate you to feel a certain way? Is it making your flesh feel good? When the song finishes, do you lose the joy? Does it feel like a come down? Or is it my joy that is always present? Does the pleasure only last the duration of the song, or is it my peace which is always there? Abide and remain in my presence. Ask me and allow me to open your eyes to see what spirits are singing, speaking, and playing through in the songs you listen to. Allow me to show you what is really happening in the spirit when you listen to these songs. When you listen to it, you are agreeing with it, and in some ways it has put you under curses. Yes, my grace is for you, but I can't break or go against my own words. Touch no unclean thing and be holy as I am holy. I love when you sing to me from your heart. It doesn't matter the tone of your voice or how it sounds in the physical. Your singing from your heart gives me greater joy than you know, and I created you to sing for me and dance for me. Allow my spirit to sing through you. You don't need to always listen to others singing when you don't even know what spirit they are singing from, and you don't even know them. Sing to me. You don't even need a beat, but sing to me, my child, with my spirit. Commune with me, not just in spirit and word, but in songs and dance. And when you are alone and when you come together. The flesh doesn't like the spirit singing and dancing through you to me, and will do anything to hinder it. Your spirit desires to sing and dance to me always. And when you do it, it hinders and crucifies the flesh so that your spirit rises up. I love you, my child, but do these things. I desire you to be clean, holy, pure, undefiled. I am with you, and I will help you, and I will show you if you just ask. Okay, and here's a revelation given to Eve Brast on 7:23:17. Your time is my time. Father spoke a word to me that I would like to share. I had been meditating on a couple of conversations I had with a brother and sister after the morning prayer meeting, and as a result, I asked Father to speak to me. I realized I hadn't heard from him in a while, because she was a very prophetic person, obviously, and heard quite a bit, and received a lot of dreams, and so on and so forth. So I asked him why he'd been silent lately, and he answered me immediately as if he had been waiting for my attention. He said, "I have not been silent. It's that your mind has been so loud. Empty your mind and void it of busyness and the soulish thoughts that continually scream for your attention. Still your mind and be quiet, and you will hear my voice clearly. Don't allow external distraction or the soulish thought life dull your discernment of the attacks from the enemy. He hides behind these and intermingles with them to keep you in turmoil and keep you from fully entering into the life and purpose I intended for you. Guard your mind with my word. Build the wall with the rock of my word and the mortar of quietness and stillness of mind. This will protect and strengthen your mind with my peace and a singleness of purpose. Cast down the soulish thought life and turn away from distraction. Shut them out so that you can feel me clearly and distinguish the voice of the enemy. Strive to walk out your days in stillness of mind. As you train your mind in this way, I will meet you there in the stillness. I asked our Father for a verse or a text for this word and received Psalm 139 and 3, 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. When I was driving home from work Sunday evening, Father again spoke very clearly to me as I was thinking on his word above. And he said, Your time is my time. Don't waste my time. Seek me on how I would have you spend it. This really convicted me because I do waste time at some point each day. I didn't realize that he considered my time his time and that it was precious to him. I figured, well, I'm nobody, so how I spend free time isn't all that important. But it looks like I was presumptuous on that one. So I asked him for a verse concerning my time being his time and received Acts 1 and 14. These all, with one accord, continued steadfastly in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Steadfastly in prayer. I hope this helps any who are also struggling in these areas. Amen. Well, I'm going to share what I think is a scripture test of discipleship, which is very important if you want to be in the high calling of the bride. Romans 8 and 13 says, For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. That body is created to observe and obey your spirit, who observes and obeys the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 10 and 34, Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. This is so true because those who are born of flesh are always wanting you to be entertained by flesh, and yet you want to draw aside and be with the Lord and receive the input that he has for you. Verse 37, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that doth not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. John 12 and 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. He that loveth his life loseth it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor. 1 Corinthians 9 and 23. And I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? And I've said so much before that it's abiding in Christ He's the one who wins the race. If we abide in Him, that is in His wishes, His desires, His nature, His character. Even so, run that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Yes. Self-control in all things. I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Yep, you can't let your body have its way. You know, you are to control it, to rule over it. Luke 13:6. And he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit thereon, and found none. And he said unto the vine dresser, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why doth it cumber the ground? And he answering saith unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, until I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit thenceforth, well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. James 1:2. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. So we will lack nothing if we are patient in our faith, if we hold fast our faith until the end, until we see the thing we're believing for, and pray that it be more on spiritual revelations than on physical things, you know. And if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Yes, if you find yourself doubting or double-minded, stop, repent, confess it to the Lord, renounce the demons of those names, and continue on believing God, right? In 2 Peter 2:2, and many shall follow their lascivious doings. That's lascivious just means a license to do what you want to do, a license to excess or whatever. By reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And in covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. For if God spared not angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell, and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with 7 others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly. Yes, they are an example in our day especially, because we see that there's so much to lead the flesh into these lusts, right, today. and delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. Amen. So true. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of defilement, and despise dominion, daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities. James 5 and 9 says, "Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that you be not judged. Behold, the judge standeth before the doors. Take, brethren, for an example of suffering and of patience the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. And you have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful." Romans 8 and 17. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him." Yes, we are here to suffer the loss of the old man, the old life, the pleasures of the flesh, and so on and so forth. "Because to you it hath been granted in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf." 2 Thessalonians 1 and 4 says, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions which you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, to the end that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." Amen. We do suffer. The old man has to suffer. If the old man is not suffering, the spiritual man is not growing. He once ruled, that old man, but he's not permitted. Since you have come to Christ. 1 Peter 2 and 20. "For what glory is it if when you sin and are buffeted for it, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Yes, true. 1 Peter 3 and 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are ye, and fear not their fear, neither be troubled." And 1 Peter 4:19. "Wherefore let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator." Yes, he's burning up the wood, hay, and stubble. That's part of the creation. The old nature, the old lusts, and so on and so forth. Revelation 2 and 10. "Fear not the things which thou art about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Well, amen. We must lose our life to gain our life. And the first life mentioned in that text is talking about your soulish life, your fleshly life. And we lose that. We give it up willingly in order to seek God for that spiritual higher life and believe him for that spiritual higher life that is the life of Jesus. Notice how Jesus and his disciples, their whole interest was in promoting the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is where we need to be now. Seeking first the kingdom. His only interest, his only hobby was souls. And, you know, there are many people who have pleasures in many different hobbies of their own, but they're wasting time in a time when we can't afford to waste time, because we're drawing very near to decisions of God, and we must be prepared to be on his right side. Amen. So, Father, we pray, we ask you to draw us so that we will run after you like the Shulamite. Draw us, Father. Put in us this desire for you, a desire for fellowship with you, a desire for closeness to you, a desire to give up those things of the world that we know are not pleasing unto you. Draw us, and we will run after you. Lord, let it be. Work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, let our desires be your desires. Give us the desires of our heart, literally, those desires in our heart that will cause us to walk as you walked. Lord, give us this gift of grace to be well-pleasing unto you. Lord, we declare that we've been given the heart of Jesus, the life of Jesus. We look in the mirror and we see Jesus in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Yes, we want to come into your glory, Lord. We want the people to see you and not us. We ask for your grace, dear Father, and that you would draw us daily and deliver us from evil desires, or even desires that are just distractions from what we really need to be doing at this particular time. Thank you for pouring out your grace upon us. Thank you, Lord, for putting your will into our hearts. Thank you for us seeking first your kingdom. Thank you for helping us to fulfill the Great Commission, which was obviously very strong on Jesus' heart when he left this place. Father, we praise you and we thank you for it. We stand affirmed that your word is true, that you've called us all in some form or fashion to do the work of the kingdom. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for your grace to us. And thank you for granting us your gift of repentance and your gift of faith. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.